You're listening to another edition of the LCJ Q&A podcast. As always, I'm your host, Lights, Camera, Jackson. It's Oscar week. Here we are, finally. And joining me to talk about it and all the things he's doing is my good friend and the host of People Now, Jeremy Parsons. What's going on?
Hello, Jackson Murphy. Let me tell you something. Few things make me happier than saying or hearing someone say, Lights, Camera, Jackson. It's just exactly right. It feels good. It's got a punch at the end. And to be saying it to you, Lights, Camera, Jackson, which is what I said when we first got on the phone here. I just said, Lights, Camera, Jackson. So good to talk to you. It's great.
Thank you, Jeremy.
So thanks for having me is the point.
You are welcome. It's good to be talking with you as well. My gosh, People Now, it's live weekdays, 8:30 a.m. Eastern on people.com and live streaming on Twitter. What's new over there at People Now?
It's been really fun. We've had a great few months here, and of course award season is exciting, but in addition to that, just everything going on. Yeah, you mentioned the Twitter thing, which is sort of new for us. We started streaming and have a different sort of platform of airing and on Twitter because we've partnered with them, and that's been really great. And yeah, I don't know. The show's doing really well. We're excited whenever stars come in, and we continue to have really great guests. And you know, there's so much going on in the world of entertainment and this socially with things like the Me Too movement and all these different things that are going on. So it's given us a whole other dynamic to kind of explore with our coverage and getting a different take on things from actors that come through the door instead of just, hey, what's your movie about? It's kind of, you know, an opportunity to hear from them on these other issues that mean a lot to so many people. So, yeah, it's going really well.
Yeah, you and Andrea do such a great job, and I know she'll be back in the swing of things with Survivor Talk pretty soon, which my cousin will be really excited for as well.
I know, and I know you're a big fan. You were, last time you were in, didn't you? You guys met, and you talked, you chatted. And so, yeah, the Survivor stuff is always exciting when it ramps back up. Andrea, who, by the way, is my co-host on People Now, she was on three seasons of Survivor. She went back to Fiji again as, like, sort of the behind-the-scenes host, interviewing the cast and Jeff Probst and all of them for the season that's about to begin, or that is, has it begun yet? It's beginning. Here it comes.
Yes, here it goes.
So she's kind of got the inside scoop on all of that, which makes it really exciting for me. I always try to kind of pry little details out of her, things that she learns from just being connected to the community, and it's hard to get the inside scoop, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, even Jeff Probst's necklace. Which necklace is Jeff Probst wearing? Is that a hard thing to ask?
Right? Exactly.
So earlier this award season, you hosted the official SAG Awards red carpet broadcast. It was broadcast all over the globe on Twitter. Who were some of the big stars that you got to talk to at the SAG Awards?
It was really exciting to do that. I'll tell you, and just for the sake of telling you a little bit of my personal feelings about it, I back in the day, I was a production assistant at the SAG Awards for the production company that does that show. And so for me to, you know, fast forward to be hosting the official show for the SAG Awards, that was just really such an honor. It was so much fun. So it was kind of full circle. I pinched myself a few times just for my personal experience. But more broadly than that, it was, yeah, very exciting to talk to some of these stars. The people that stick out to me, Saoirse Ronan was amazing. Allison Janney was so great. And just hearing her talk about that role in I, Tonya. I absolutely love Gary Oldman, and I love him in this movie, Darkest Hour, and so talking to him about that and all that he went through with the process was great. And maybe a standout to me in some ways was Willem Dafoe, who, of course, the Florida Project is why he was there and is being honored. It was interesting because he hasn't been to the SAG Awards that many times, so he was kind of like, hey, you know, I'm well along in my career, but I'm still, so this is kind of feeling like, oh, this is fun to do and not something that I do every year. So that was kind of an interesting take from him.
Yeah, I met Gary Oldman at Critics' Choice. He was so kind. He and his wife were just so kind, and Allison Janney is really tall.
She's very tall. Yes, she is. And it's funny because a lot of times you hear sort of the common thing when people meet celebrities, oh, they're shorter than I thought. With Allison Janney, it's like, oh, she's taller than I thought. You know, that's kind of what people think. By the way, yeah, Jackson, nice job at the Critics' Choice Awards and all the photos that you have with every star. I am a little bit jealous.
We try to cover it all for all of you out there. We cover it all. When you were doing the SAG Awards, what was that day like?
Well, we had the day before, we did a production meeting and kind of ran through the run of the show and the sort of of beats that we would be hitting throughout and how it would open and where we were going to go and what's going to happen, because we had two locations. So there's some technical stuff with that. Day of, it's actually by that point it's sort of like, all right, we're ready to go. So got there a few hours before and did the whole just kind of a lay of the land, checked out the spot and did some technical tests and things. I will be honest with you, the thing that became the biggest not malfunction, but sort of near, like, down to the wire moment, was tying my bow tie for the tuxedo. So here we were back in the dressing rooms, and it's like, hey, we've got to be down there really soon. And I had to actually have, I usually get the pre-tied bow tie, but I had the real deal this time.
Ooh.
I've had it a couple times before, never good at it. I had one of our other hosts actually was tying it for me. It was a near catastrophe, Jackson. The SAG Awards official red carpet barely happened if that tie hadn't been fixed in the last down to the last wire, the last moments, down the wire.
That is intense. That is really dramatic.
It's really tough. It's really crazy, and I'm glad I was able to share that with you.
Yes, yes. We're with Jeremy Parsons, the host of People Now, and you've been all over the talk shows lately. My goodness, Kathy Leonhoda, Wendy Williams, Rachel Ray, GMA. You are becoming the Kevin Hart of entertainment reporters. You are everywhere, Jeremy.
Just kind of bouncing around. That's been really fun for me. And that's another thing that, you know, is great about People Now and being a part of the People brand is there's, you know, everyone is interested in what People coverage is like. There's a level of integrity with it and a certain bar in the world of entertainment news that the brand maintains. And it's so nice to be a part of that and then to go on these shows and talk about these big stories that are either on the cover of the magazine or, you know, the nature of it is that because it's People, we get the inside scoop on many, many big stories. And so it's fun to go out and to, yeah, of course, to be on these different shows. And, man, Rachel Ray, I ended up doing one of the biggest issues for People every year is the half their size issue. And it's these incredible stories of people who have undergone tremendous weight loss. And I was on with a couple of the people featured in the magazine. I ended up being able to help in a cooking segment or two. Who knew? I didn't know I was such a great cook. Maybe I'm not. And I even got to jump rope. My gosh. So, you know, it's a variety of things. And then on Wendy Williams, I've been doing a segment like the Hot Five. It's kind of in line with a lot of the people picks that are featured in the magazine every week, that some of the different movies and TV shows and books and things that celebrities are doing that people need to pay attention to. And then the Today Show stuff has just been incredible all the way through. So, yes, thank you for mentioning those things. I love doing it. It's a lot of fun.
Who's got the best food in the green room?
Ooh, tough one. It's between Rachel Ray and Wendy.
Okay.
It's got to be Rachel Ray, though, right? I mean, it's literally a cooking show, so, yeah, she's got it. They've got a full kitchen there. Come in, hey, we have a menu to offer you. Like, oh, wow. I almost feel like a legit celebrity in those green rooms. But, that's probably, I'm going to say Rachel Ray, best food.
Nice. Let's transition into the Oscars, but before we get to this year's ceremony, where were you last year when the envelope snafu happened, and what was your reaction to all that?
We had just finished, we did our live People Entertainment Weekly pre-show, red carpet show, and we were all watching in the office, in the studios, because we kind of got, it's almost like you're in the environment right up until the show starts, so you can't really leave if you want to watch the show. So we watched all the way through, so we were there when it happens, and wow. It was just one of those things where by that point in the night, everyone's kind of tired and like, okay, but then there's that big moment. And when that happened, it was like everyone just snapped up to the edge of their seat. Like, what? No way. You know what I mean? You just couldn't believe it. Like, oh, what an embarrassment and what a snafu. But I have a very good feeling that is not going to happen again.
Yeah. I got a feeling that Kimmel's going to be great at the beginning of the show this year when addressing all of that. And yeah, last year I was watching it at the house and I turned over to my mother, who was the biggest La La Land fan when we saw it, and I said, Mother, this is history. You are watching history unfold right now. And it was a kind of a weird feeling because they both sort of, Moonlight and La La Land, sort of lost that night. It was just a weird feeling overall.
Yeah, you're right. It sort of undercut the victory for anyone because it sort of becomes, but the good news, by the time Oscars roll around, look, so many of these nominees have gotten to know each other well. They respect each other so much. When they say, as they often do on red carpets or whatever, they always say, well, the nomination is the win. I really do feel like those movies, they were all so great that there was that kind of mutual shared feeling. Obviously, you know, you don't want a snafu like that, but you know, I think everyone's just really happy to be in the room at that point.
Very true. So you loved Gary Oldman in Darkest Hour. I want to talk about a couple of categories here. If for some crazy reason Gary Oldman does not win Best Actor, who pulls off the upset?
It's really tough. Because you don't know for sure the sensibilities of the voting crowd, all right? So Gary Oldman was my choice. So I guess if I went with number two, it's probably Timothy Chalamet. Unless that's from Call Me By Your Name. On the flip side, though, you know, Phantom Thread, Daniel Day-Lewis, his last movie ever, right? So
yes.
But it feels like Phantom Thread, timing-wise, kind of got into the game sort of late, and I don't know that the momentum matches the praise that the movie is due because of the timing of things and how much momentum there is for other things. But I guess likely second runner-up would be Timothy Chalamet. But Daniel Day-Lewis, who knows, could be the surprise. But we all know it's going to Gary Oldman, so I don't even know, why are we even talking about it?
Well, look, Jeremy, to be very honest, I'm predicting a tie in this category, and I'm not joking with you. I am predicting that Gary Oldman and Daniel Day-Lewis are going to tie for Best Actor, and if that doesn't happen, Timothy Chalamet will pull like the Adrian Brody upset and come in for the win.
That would be a massive upset.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I talked to Timothy Chalamet and his mother, who was his date at the SAG Awards, and they are both so excited about all of this and everything that's happening with him. She was glowing, his mom, and so excited for him. I hope there's a cutaway of her somehow if he actually pulls off an upset like that, but I'm sorry to say I don't think it's going to happen.
All right.
We'll see. I hope you're right. We'll see.
Best Actress. It's an unbelievable lineup of talent here. Is Frances McDormand a lock for Three Billboards?
She is, but earlier, Saoirse Ronan has a lot of steam and a lot of momentum for Lady Bird. So I guess it does come down to the two of them. Conventional wisdom is Frances McDormand gets it. But it would be interesting. I guess it's one of those things where, yeah, money's on Frances McDormand, but if Saoirse Ronan got it, no one would be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, you know? It's one of those things. It's so funny, too. Meryl Streep, there she is again.
Right.
Doing her thing. It's almost like she's got a permanent placeholder somewhere on the list, but rarely at the top for whatever, you know, for various reasons. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's true. The Post was my favorite film of 2017, so I was at least pleased to see that Meryl got nominated and that the film is up for Best Picture. At least that happened.
Yeah, and the acknowledgement's fantastic. She's incredible. She has nothing to prove. It's great that she's there over and over again. We love it. But for this year, let's just say Frances McDormand.
All right, I think I agree with you on McDormand. And then here's the thing about Best Picture. So we have 9 nominees. I think we can eliminate 5. I think we can eliminate Phantom Thread, The Post, Dunkirk, Call Me By Your Name, and Darkest Hour. I think we can eliminate those 5.
Okay, the only one I would argue with is Dunkirk, because Dunkirk had, I don't think it's going to win, but I do think it has a lot of favor in terms of, look, people love Christopher Nolan. I think voters thought of it. Maybe early on, awards watchers felt like this is his big moment because of what the movie is able to do and the interesting, you know, mechanisms used to tell the story. The effects were incredible. The cinematography was incredible. The sound design was incredible. All of those things. I agree with you for the most part on that, but. I just have a place in my heart for Dunkirk.
Yeah, so we'll make that the wild card. We're left with 4. Get Out, Lady Bird, The Shape of Water, and 3 Billboards. What is the buzz that you're feeling in the Best Picture category?
The buzz is there are a lot of storylines here that have some really interesting social comments on society and things that are going on, social commentary and cultural things that we can pull out or tease out of the stories. I think The Shape of Water takes the win for several reasons. One of them being you've got this story that does have really relatable themes that speak to society, the concepts of people that are not like us, the other, right? The concepts of finding love in non-traditional places. In this case, in the movie, very non-traditional. But the symbolism of it, of sort sort of the outsider and learning to see the other for their value and their worth and not seeing sort of the caricature of the other. Anyway, so all of those themes are there, and it's wrapped up in this incredibly sort of fantastic or fanciful love story that on paper, and to hear the pitch, you would think, this is so crazy, it can never work, but tonally was executed with near perfection. I mean, there are so many opportunities for Shape of Water to go off the rails in absurdity, and it never did. Somehow it never did. And that, obviously that's a credit to Guillermo del Toro. That's obviously a credit, huge credit to Sally Hawkins, Doug Jones as well, and playing that character. But, you know, they're just all-encompassing look at that thing. It was a fully realized movie and a fully realized concept and execution, I think.
It was a good film, and, I mean, I'd like to see it win because it would match up with Critics' Choice because it won the Critics' Choice for Best Picture. My gut's telling me it's Get Out.
I think that could be the upset, yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Get Out has so much relevance and also a really creative concept and the layers of symbolism and things like that. So, no doubt, it has a lot of goodwill and a lot of momentum, and a lot of people really loved the statement that it made, or the statements that it made, and just the creativity of it as well. I could see that being the upset.
Okay, cool. So where are you going to be, and what are you and everybody at People Now going to be doing heading into Oscar night?
We're definitely going to be watching. People is doing a great deal of coverage throughout the night, so we're going to be tracking along closely. I don't know. Do you do an Oscar pool? Like, do you have like the? Are you running a pool to see who wins? Or
yeah, I do a family pool every year. Yeah, and I'll put my picks online. Yeah.
Yeah, here's one thing that I am questioning in terms of Jimmy Kimmel's tone. Does he go full political? Does he leave it loose? I think because it's Kimmel. And because of the nature of things that are going on, I think he does. I think he goes heavy with the politics.
Well, yeah, and we got all the sexual harassment stuff from the past year. His take on that, plus the envelope stuff, plus the movies themselves. It's going to be jam packed with material. Is there going to be enough to cover everything and a good separation of everything? Yeah, it will be interesting to see the balance of it all.
Definitely, for sure. Now, as far as the envelope thing, as we mentioned earlier, they've already kind of poked fun at that in some of the promotional, like, commercials and things for it. So he's already that's definitely going to be something. I mean, hopefully they don't overdo it. It's kind of an old joke.
It is kind of an old joke.
They'll make a nod to it and then they'll move on.
Yeah. At this point, as we're talking right now, they have not announced that Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway would be coming back to try again. Do you believe that that might happen?
Could be really fun. That would be actually kind of a nice way to handle it, wouldn't it? Sort of a redemption moment, and they could have their laugh about the whole thing and then make up for it by hopefully not having the same thing happen again.
Oh, gosh, wouldn't that be unbelievable? Yeah. Well, we will see what happens, and look for all the People coverage with my man, Jeremy Parsons, heading into Oscar night and on Oscar night this coming Sunday, March 4th. Jeremy, this was a blast. Thank you for the picks, and thanks for talking with me today.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. All right. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. This has been another edition of the LCJ Q&A. Thank you.